Good morning and welcome to our site as we continue our meditations in the Acts in the New Testament, the book of Acts. So if you have your Bible handy, I want you to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 16. And then also, if you'll please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Today is Father's Day in South Africa. And so as we continue in Acts and read from verse 16, the first five verses, we're going to be thinking about Paul's fatherly relationship to his son in the faith, Timothy. And so I've entitled our message, The Man God Honors. The Man God Honors. I'm sure every father listening to my voice is a father who would long to be a man God honors. And I know every wife, every child would want a father whom God honors. And so that's our theme for today. And so turn with me, first of all, to Acts chapter 16, and we read, He came to Derbe, that is, Paul, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. I always loved that verse. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. What a blessing when that happens. Then, if you don't mind turning to Paul's second letter to Timothy, and I'd like to read in chapter 1, the first 14 verses, before we get into our message this morning, The Man God Honors. 2 Timothy 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he's able to guard that which I've entrusted to him for that day. Timothy, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Chapter 2, verse 1, You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. The man God honors. As I said earlier, I'm sure every father would want to be a father a man whom God honors. What is it that causes some people to grow rapidly as Christians? I've always been fascinated with that and interested in that, where even in adversity, sometimes people can grow to real maturity in Christ, and yet sometimes the same circumstances will cause another Christian to falter and to fail. We never seem to grow up in Christ the way we should. So many Christians who are faithful church attendants are embarrassed sometimes to bow their heads and give thanks for their food at a restaurant or tell their work associates about the Lord. God is looking for fathers who will be bold and who will be able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, we get an answer. Timothy is a wonderful example of someone who really grew to maturity. Timothy was very special to the Apostle Paul. He became like a son to the Apostle. Writing to the Philippians, Paul said, "I have no man like-minded." Paul wrote two pastoral letters to Timothy. We've read from the one. Timothy's name appears in the introduction of six of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. And the book of Acts, as you know, is a book of models, a book of patterns that show us how to be what God wants us to be and how to do what God wants us to do. And fathers, that's the most important thing in the world, to be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. And Timothy is a good example. He was from Lystra, and Lystra is situated in the middle of what is present-day Turkey and was made a Roman colony in 6 BC. Timothy's name means honored of God. Many of you, I'm sure, would have seen the film Chariots of Fire. You've read about Eric Liddell, the missionary who was an outstanding athlete. And at the Olympic Games one year, he cancelled out when he saw he had to run on a Sunday. And he changed the race in which he was going to run. And just before they set out on that particular race, one of the fellow athletes put a little note in his hand. It was 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. "Him that honors me, says the Lord, I will honor." Timothy was a man that God honored. And there are five factors in his life that caused his spiritual growth. And fathers, well, everyone listening, measure these against your own situation this morning. There was, first of all, what I like to call the family factor, and we see that in verse 1 of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. In the development of the man or the woman of God, the most important heritage, very often, more often than not, is a Christian family, a Christian home. What a privilege to be brought up in a Christian home. And so Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, says, "I remember your grandmother, and I remember your mother, and how from infancy they taught you the scriptures that are able to make you wise to salvation, to a faith relationship with Jesus that is full and everlasting." This family relationship was one of the key factors in Timothy's spiritual growth. We will never grow spiritually as Christians unless we understand the family relationships God has given us and the role God wants us to play in them. Today, so few children, sadly, are raised in an ideal family situation. There is so much brokenness, so much dysfunctionality in families today. Well, Timothy's home was not all that Christian or functional. Timothy's dad was a Greek. His mother was possibly either widowed or divorced, but she was Jewish. May have been a single-parent home by the time Paul met Timothy on his second missionary journey here. Timothy's father was not the head of the home then, in a spiritual sense. But these two ladies, his gran and his mum, they raised him and they taught him the word of God. And Paul highlights that in his second letter to Timothy in chapter 3 and verses 14 and 16. Well, every church is available to help every person who is a father to be a good father. Our child's relationship to God is often so greatly determined by the parents that we have, and primarily to fathers. It's an interesting observation that I've made now that I've had the privilege of being in Christian ministry for 50 years. In 50 years, I have worked with many missionaries and many pastors, and invariably I've found when I've asked them to share their testimony of how they personally came to Christ, of what were the spiritual markers in their lives that caused them to grow to maturity in Christ and to not only know Christ but sense his call and give themselves fully to a life of service for the Lord, medical doctors, missionaries, teachers, evangelists out on the mission fields of the world, and invariably it was the influence of a Christian home, and so often the influence of parents who raised them, being brought up day by day with an example of what a parent should be, and a parent who coached and guided and mentored and helped them to grow in a relationship with the Lord and to help others to do the same. Our hearts must be correctly ordered toward our children, fathers. What a privilege God has given us to be fathers, and perhaps many listening like me, grandfathers. Well, Timothy became all that God wanted him to be because his mother and his gran taught him by word and example the reality and the relevance of God, what it means to know God personally and to grow into the likeness of Jesus. If there are repressed feelings of bitterness or anger toward family members, it's very difficult to grow spiritually. What a blessing Timothy had in terms of the family factor, that he had a gran and a mother who were able to rear him, teaching him the truths of God's word until he himself came to love the Lord and grow to maturity in the Lord. The family factor, what a blessing some of us have had to be raised in a Christian home. Dad, how are you doing in terms of leading your Christian home? You are the priest and the prophet and the king within your home. That is your God-ordained position. God bless you as you father in a home that will be a home that God can honor because you live a life that God can honor. Secondly, what I've called the fellowship factor. Timothy's relationship to the church and its leadership is a sterling example for us to follow. In verse 4:2, we find the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. He'd gained respect, he'd gained credibility from all the churches in the area. He got involved in the body of believers from a young age. He grew out from a home church involvement to a worldwide ministry. It happened because of the fellowship factor, because of proper spiritual growth and development that made it possible for him to grow. Baptized into the body of Christ, the local church, he was discipled and mentored and taught within the fellowship of believers. God created us to be in community. Christ loved the church, the company of all true believers, gave himself for us on the cross. You can't tell the Lord you don't like his body. We are members of one family. We are united with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The triune God is in this triune community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he creates his church and every local church, every local assembly of believers, to be a close-knit community where there is koinonia, where there is fellowship, where we share our common life in Jesus Christ with one another, each one gifted in some particular way for ministry to the Lord and ministry to the body and ministry to the world. Ephesians 4:16, Paul says, from Jesus, the head of the church, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament as it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Friends, we can only grow to maturity. Fathers, we can only grow to maturity When each of us does their part in the local church, the body of Christ, the fellowship factor, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, says the Apostle John as he writes his first letter. It's all about this wonderful reality of our fellowship with the Lord and with one another. Father, is there any sin in your life or mine that hinders the fellowship factor? John encourages us in his first letter that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes people criticize the church when they're sitting on a talent or a gift that could actually help the situation. You see, that's how it works in the local church, the body of Christ. What I lack, you supply. And what you lack, I can supply, or some other member of the body. You may have the hands of a brain surgeon, but they're no good if they're detached from the body. Let Dr. Chris Barnard perform the first heart transplant operation in the world, here in Cape Town, where I live. His hands made history, but his hands made history because, one, they were controlled by his head, and two, he was rightly related to the other members of his team. It's a team effort to transplant a person's heart. And so it is in the Church of Jesus, fathers. It's a team effort where we're all to work together, taking orders from our head, the Lord Jesus, and offering ourselves as members of his body so that in community, in the fellowship factor, we can accomplish what God desires in bringing the body to maturity. Discipleship is not sitting in a pew listening to a preacher. Discipleship can only occur in relationships, in ministry. Timothy appreciated the fellowship factor. He gave himself to the fellowship of his local church, and in that he grew to maturity, became a man that God honors. Thirdly, there's what I've called the flexibility factor. Timothy was flexible. We see that in verse 3. Paul wanted to include him on his mission team, on his second missionary journey. And Timothy was willing to be circumcised because he was only a half-Jew, and the Apostle Paul knew that might be offensive or a stumbling block as they moved among Jewish people and sought to win Jewish converts to Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And so Timothy's was not an Orthodox home. His mother had married a Greek man. So Paul had him circumcised. You know, Timothy could have said, "Paul, what is this all about? You're the one who said circumcision was not necessary for salvation, and now you're asking me to be circumcised. What about the decision of the Jerusalem Council and the letter that the churches have received?" But you see, this was a different situation. Timothy had Jewish blood in his veins. If we're going to take the gospel to the Jews, we don't want to give any cause for offense. In fact, we don't want to give cause for offense when we take the gospel to anybody, Jew or non-Jew. And so Timothy was so flexible, he was willing to sacrifice his personal freedom in order that others could hear the gospel clearly. There's a wonderful principle here, fathers. Are we flexible enough to know that, as Paul says to the Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient? Not everything is going to help build people up or edify them. There are some things that, in our freedom, we need to be free and flexible enough to sacrifice certain likes for the sake of others who might be stumbled, who might be taken down because of them. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul speaks about this to the Corinthian congregation. If you have your Bible there, look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. The Apostle Paul says, "Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others." Did you hear that, dads? Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Paul says, concerning food that was offered to idols in the marketplace at the time, "Eat anything sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever's put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then don't eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for you? Here's the bottom line, says Paul. Whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Fathers, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, and don't cause anyone to stumble, says Paul. Whether they're Jews or Greeks or belong to the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, says Paul. For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So that's what's happening here. And Timothy is willing to be flexible. You see, as a Christian, you are free. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Not all things are helpful to others in building up their faith. So if you're going to be all that God wants you to do, you'll have to sacrifice your personal freedom sometimes. Now, we're not talking about compromising doctrinal position or moral purity or the authority of the Word of God, but being flexible enough to bend on non-negotiables and to be able to reach all kinds of people. If you're going to grow in Christ, like Timothy, you have to learn to put your personal rights aside sometimes and let God do what he wants to do without getting in the way. Fathers, one of the things here that applies to us is to understand the generations, to understand the gap that exists and the differences that exist sometimes in the generations. So often fathers make the mistake of trying to raise their children as though they're living in the age that the fathers grew up in, like 30 years ago or 40 years ago, or whatever the case may be. Fathers, take time to understand the present generation, the temptations, the challenges, the differences that exist in the world today, so different to the world that you and I grew up in. And we need to learn this flexibility factor sometimes. Perhaps it's in worship styles or issues like which church to belong to and issues like that. And then we come fourthly to what I've called the formation factor. The formation factor. Timothy is a wonderful example of a person who was spiritually formed as he grew to maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here I'd like to just refer you once again to Timothy, and chapter 2 this time, the first 7 verses. Paul says, "You then, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, Timothy, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. What is Paul saying? But Timothy, there are lots of issues that you're going to face as you grow to maturity and become a man that God really honors. You will go through all kinds of situations. Circumstances will change from time to time. But be like a soldier. Be like an athlete. Be like a farmer. Have the wisdom to know what you need to be like, what you need to do and say in these differing circumstances of life. And be a good soldier of Jesus Christ as you endure the hardships that will definitely come your way, because All of these things are part of God's plan for your spiritual formation, to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there are two kinds of people, two kinds of Christian very often, what we sometimes call carnal and spiritual. When you're carnal, you're wanting to be served all the time. When you're spiritual, you're wanting to serve. And Paul is wanting Timothy to grow from carnality to spirituality, from babyhood to maturity. Timothy looked to Paul as his spiritual father, and so it was important that Timothy realized the name of the game is formation, spiritual formation, development into Christ-like character and behavior. And that will mean being willing to be taught, willing to be corrected, willing to be reproved sometimes, willing to be disciplined. And so the relationship of Timothy to Paul was very important. Otherwise, the whole formation factor would be lost. It's the same with you, Dad. It's the same with me. It's the same with the father-child relationship. We have such an important role as parents to make sure that our children understand the formation factor, how that all of life has been designed by God, with all its trials and challenges and difficulties, as well as its joys and celebrations. Everything's been designed so that we can become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 12 to 16, the apostle has this to say. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching, and do not neglect the gift which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. What a wonderful word for fathers today, to soak your soul in these scriptures and to recognize this is God's recipe for spiritual formation. This is God's recipe for you and I to become the fathers that God wants us to be, the grandfathers that God wants us to be, people who are honored by God. And then finally, fifthly, the fruit factor, the fruit factor. In Acts chapter 16, we read that wonderful verse where the Acts chapter 16, and let me just turn it up again. It's verse 5, Acts 16. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. The churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. God give us fathers that will strengthen the churches and enable them to grow daily in numbers. The fruit factor. Timothy learned to abide in Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, he says to you, Dad, and he says to me today again, abide in me, remain in me, and let my words remain in you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will, and it shall be done. And you will be fruit bearers. You will bear more and more fruit as you abide in an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy had learned to do that, and the result was fruit. And notice the balance between evangelism and discipleship, leading people to Christ and actually discipling them, strengthening them, coaching, mentoring them. And the result was they grew daily in numbers. Dads, God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit, more and more fruit. So he'll prune us, prune away the things that hinder the fruit bearing. That's not always nice, that's often painful, but it's needful. Later in his own personal life, Timothy bore fruit as a pastor of the church, and then a pastor of pastors. Father, how is your fruit bearing today? Are you so abiding in Jesus and growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ that the fruit of Christ's character is being seen in you more and more? You know, we're great at being human doers, but God has called us first of all to be human beings. And when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, as he did with Timothy, he will produce this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fathers, nearly all of us face our day with a to-do list. The scriptures compel us, however, to have a to-be list. Have you ever thought of that? While it may be important to accomplish certain tasks, engage in certain projects, or have certain encounters during the day, what is more important for eternity is the person we are throughout this day and tomorrow. From a to-do perspective, we tend to come before the Lord and say, "This is my list of the things that I have to do, Lord, and this is my schedule. Please be with me and help me and bless me." From a to-be perspective, we might make these requests rather, in the light of the teaching of Paul in Galatians chapter 5. Help me, Lord, to be the person you want me to be today. Help me to be the father you want me to be before I'm the father who has a big to-do list. Help me to reflect your love today. Help me to display your joy. Help me to manifest your peace. Help me to practice your patience. Help me to express your kindness. Help me to make known your goodness. Help me to reveal your faithfulness. Help me to show your gentleness. Help me to exhibit your self-control. Well, as someone wrote, wishful thinking doesn't produce these traits. They come from a life lived in communication with the Lord. These are the distinguishing marks of his presence in our lives. Our to-be list, therefore, fathers, must always begin with an invitation to the Holy Spirit to inspire us and to impel us toward being the person that God wants us to be. Fathers, God bless you, and I pray that today you will be what God wants you to be. And what a blessing to come to terms with the family factor, the fellowship factor, the flexibility factor, the formation factor, and the fruit factor, and to measure our lives against the teaching of the Word of God. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us once again today. Thank you for speaking to us as fathers. And we thank you that through the merits of Jesus' blood and righteousness and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, every Christian dad is able to pray, "Our Father, Abba Father, Daddy God. May your name be honored and glorified in my life. May I experience your kingship in my life. May your will be done in my life, even as your will is accomplished perfectly in heaven." Fathers, I want to challenge you to pray every day, as Craig Rochelle would encourage us to do in the power prayer that he offered before leaving the house every day, Father. Before leaving your house every day, Dad, to pray, "Father God, I give you my mind. Renew it with your truth. I give you my eyes. May I only see the things that matter to you, Lord. Keep my eyes pure and focused only on what matters most. And take my ears, dear Lord, and may I only hear your truth. Silence the lies of the evil one. Fill me with your word. I offer you my mouth. May all my words be pleasing to you. Take my heart, Father God. I know it's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, but make it new. Make it new. And use my hands, Father. May they be instruments to serve and strengthen others. And take my feet, Lord. Lead me on righteous paths. I need you in every area of my life. May my steps take only steps towards your perfect will. May I fulfill your desire for my life. May I fulfill the potential that you've placed within me to be a good father, a good grandfather. May there be much fruit for your glory. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Story, shine on me, shine.